Hi, I'm Jess, and this is the latest Emma's Diary podcast on postnatal depression, and today I'm going to be telling you my experience. So I'd heard of postnatal depression in the media and on TV soaps and real life stories in magazines, and it's something that I never really thought I would experience, as I'd had two children already and they'd been normal postnatal periods, and it's not something that I'd previously suffered with, and our baby was much wanted, much planned for and dreamed of, and I was so excited to have him, and I just really didn't expect it to happen. And when it did, it was just the most horrific thing that I've ever had to go through, I think, in my life. It was an extremely dark period, and I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. I think the first time that I noticed something didn't feel quite right was possibly in the hospital after I had had him. I was just really anxious about everything, really worried to the point where I just couldn't switch off and get to sleep, and I would just sit and watch him and just couldn't switch off, and my mind was racing with really irrational thoughts and feelings. And if I'm honest, when he was placed on me and that first sort of few hours with him, I didn't love him. I didn't really want to look at him. I was much more happy for my husband to hold him, or the midwife, or the health professionals, and I didn't really want to hold him and snuggle him, which was a bit strange, but I didn't think much of it. I'd just been through a very fast labour at 3 hours 45 minutes, and lib, you know, it's tough, and I just thought, it'll come, don't be so silly, Jess, you know, it'll come. But sadly, it didn't, and the first 2 months of his life were just horrendous. And it got to the point where I couldn't even leave the house, and I just broke down. But I'll get on to that in a little while. So yeah, we found out we were pregnant back in June 2016, and it was one of the best days of my life, after previously being told when I was 20 that we probably wouldn't be able to have any more children because of my polycystic ovary syndrome. And so to be actually pregnant was amazing. I was on cloud nine. I had visions of going for long walks with my baby, as he was due in the spring, and I'd never had a spring baby before, and just going for coffee with friends and just getting out and about, but also just bonding and spending time with our new bundle. And that didn't really pan out, basically. We came home from the hospital and every day just got harder and harder, and to the point where, like I said, I didn't leave the house. I would only leave the house if I was with my husband, or forced, we had to go somewhere, or I had to take my older children to school. And on really, really bad days, I would take them to school, come home, just sit on the sofa and cry. And it was, yeah, just awful. And I would just sit in the same spot on the sofa watching TV, but not really taking things in. My mind was just super foggy and swirling with thoughts, and I just really, in the pit of my stomach, felt like something really bad was going to happen to myself or to our little boy. And to the point where I had stopped locking. Normally in the house, I lock the door when I'm in on my own, and I'd stopped locking the door, and just in case anything, the bad event was going to happen and the emergency services needed to get in. And it was just horrific, really, when I look back. And I even thought most days about just leaving and walking away from my family, my life, just to get away from the situation and just to get, I just wanted to be out of my head and out of my thoughts. I never ever thought about hurting my baby, thankfully, and I just wanted to walk away. And I thought if I walked away, left the door open, then one of my neighbours would hear him crying and they'd look after him so he'd be safe. My main aim was just to keep him safe, which any mum wants to keep the children safe, but I just took it to extremes of overly washing my hands so we didn't get germs. And I was an absolutely awful person to live with. I was just so snappy to my husband and my older two children. Every little thing that they did, I couldn't cope with it. And I just would snap at them for every little thing. I wasn't being the wife or the mum that they knew. And it was never said that my husband, you know, he never said, you know, Jess, you, I think you've got a problem or anything. He just put it down to, I've just had a baby. I've, you know, not had a lot of sleep. I've had broken sleep and it's hormones. And he was really shocked and really upset when our son was 8 weeks old and I just broke down one night to him, and I literally just said the words out loud. I just remember the conversation so vividly, and I just turned to him and said, I don't love him. And he was like, who? You don't love who? And I said, I don't love him, and pointed at our baby son. And it was one of the most devastating, but at the same time, I was just so relieved to get the words out of my head and out loud. And it felt so good to be open and not putting on a show. Not putting on the Jessie show anymore was just a relief, really. And my husband just held me and I just sobbed in his arms. And he did feel really guilty that he'd not noticed, as I'd been really good at apparently pretending that everything was okay and going through the motions. And, you know, I went and he came with me and I got help. And the next day, again, just big relief when I told the doctor about how I'd been. It was our son's 8 week checkup at the doctor's, and again I broke down. And to be told that it's quite normal, it's fixable, and I wasn't the only one suffering, was just the words that I needed to hear. And she was so lovely, and she started me on medication and wanted me to go back and see her. We had a plan in place. And I wasn't alone anymore. And I think that is the big thing with mental health. I was so scared of telling my midwife, telling my health visitor, like their appointments and my son's like checkups and things and weigh-ins. I was so scared of saying, you know, I'm having these difficulties, because I was worried that they were going to take him away, which is just really silly. And I would urge anyone, if you are feeling the way that I was feeling, or you're worried about someone else, then just speak to them. Mental health, it needs to be talked about. It needs to be less taboo. And we need to build each other up and, You know, I've had so much support from my family, my friends, my work colleagues, everyone knows, and I'm not ashamed to say, look, I've had these difficulties with my son, you know, we didn't bond straight away, and that's fine. You know, he's two now, and we have the best relationship, and it's only made us stronger. And you know, there are still days when I do have a bit of a wobble, and you know, that's okay. It's okay to tell someone that you're having a wobble. You don't have to keep it inside and keep up the show that I was doing. And I'm in such a better place now, and me and my husband, you know, or I can ring my friends or I can ring my parents and just say, look, I'm having a really bad day. Can I talk to you? And, you know, a hug or just something like that. And I think, again, it's just really important. And I hope if anyone is listening to this, and if I just help one person to speak up and say, look, I'm not okay, because it's okay not to be okay, you know, like, when people have babies and children, it's not always this fun little field with flowers, and sometimes it is pretty horrific and grim and lonely, and no one really talks about these parts of motherhood. So I hope you have enjoyed this podcast, and I will speak to you soon.